Welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be learning together Mizmor Kuf Mem Zayin, the 147th Psalm in the book of Tehillim. This is a Mizmor which is focused around the topic of the chosenness, the specialness of the nation of Israel and Hashem's interaction with it specifically. You'll notice that up till now we've looked at Tehillah LeDavid, which we call Ashrei, which focuses on Hashkacha Klalis, general providence of Hashem. We moved to Kuf Mem Vov 146, which talked about Hashkocha Pratis, where Hashem focuses on human beings. And now we're focused on not just any human beings, but specifically Israel. We'll see why in just a second. Let's start looking at this Mizmor from a bigger perspective, from the structure. It is made up of 20 psukim and can be divided into three sections. The first six psukim, Aleph to Vov, are a praising of Hashem for His strength. Psukim Zayin to Yud Aleph, 7 to 11, are praising Hashem for His providence for those who fear Him. And finally, Psukim Yud Beis to Chof are praising Hashem for His blessing of Yerushalayim and giving us Matan Torah, ultimately our chosenness. Each of the three sections begins with a call to praise to Hashem. First one is Halleluka, praise be Hashem, Kitov, Zamro Elokeinu, and sing to Hashem. The second section begins Enula La Hashem Besoida, answer Hashem or pray, sing out to Hashem in thanksgiving. And the third section is Shabchi Yerushalayim Es Hashem, let Jerusalem praise Hashem. It is interesting, just as a fascinating footnote, that the Septuagint, which is the Greek version of the Old Testament, does break this Mizmor into two separate Mizmorim, each starting with its own Halleluka, and they break it up at Yud Beis. So they see this as two separate Mizmorim. Obviously, that doesn't impact our tradition at all, but it is interesting in the historical sense that it could relate to the practice of the Alexandrian Jewish community, which of course was under Ptolemaic Greeks at the time. But be it as it may, that is not our tradition. Actual themes of the Mizmor, it is interesting to note that all three sections share certain themes. So for instance, all of them share the idea of praising Hashem for His power. So for instance, we talk about at the first section, we praise Hashem because He is all-powerful. The second section is because He cares about those who are directly care about Hashem, Him. And the third section is He chose Yerushalayim and Israel. So ultimately, we're praising Hashem for these three different values, each in each section. There's also reference to nature and Hashem's control of nature in each of the three sections. So, for instance, in this first section, it's about the stars. Hashem calls all the stars' names. In the second section, it's the clouds and rain. Hashem covers the sky with clouds and provides rain. In the third section, it is the bringing and the removing of the snow and sleet. Then He brings His wind and He melts it all into water again. So this power over nature, which is being described in each of the three sections. The power of Hashem specifically, or what is of value as power, is also in all three sections. So, for instance, in the first section, Godol Adonai Nevarav Koach, Hashem is extremely powerful. In the second section, it's the negation. He does not want the power of horses or the flanks of men. Rather, it's about the Yirath. It's the fearing of Hashem. And finally, the last section is Ad Meira Yotz Devora. Hashem's word is immediate. When Hashem wants something to happen, it follows immediately. There's no bureaucracy. There's no complication. It is. Another theme that is to be found in our Mizmor is a theme of humility and power. The Gemara famously tells us in Megillah, Daf Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that Kol Makom Sheata Moitzei Gevura Soi Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, any place you find the strength of Hashem expressed, Ata Moitzei An Vedusu Nosoi, we find His humility expressed as well. And it's interesting, if you look at our Mizmor, it's a prime example of that. There are descriptions of how powerful Hashem is, but also at the same time, how humble He is, how willing He is to interact, to choose, to uplift this in this world. And in fact, if you're to label this Mizmor, if you're to paint it one of two colors, either Anava or Gevura, humility or strength, you could actually see a pattern emerging. So for instance, in the first section, it would be A-G-A, Anava, Gevura, Anava. The second section, it goes Gevura, Anava, G-A. And the last section reverts to the pattern of A-G-A, which is Anava, Gevura, Anava. So just to follow the ideas of the power of Hashem and the humility of Hashem intermingling into this, the patterns of our Mizmor, a very remarkable expression of Rabbi Yochanan's statement. There is another theme of here, and that is the ability to be able to see Hashem. How is it that we see Hashem? How is it that we are able to relate to the intangible, to the ethereal, to the cerebral HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Well, there's two ways. Before even getting to Torah, One is look at the natural world around us, see the power, see the ecosystem, see the harmony. And there's another way of doing it, and that is look into Jewish history. Look at the survival of the chosen nation. Look at the fact that they should not technically or by all any statistics or probability exist at this point in time, and yet they do and they thrive. Those are two ways of noticing Hashem: through science, through the world around us, and through human history specifically related to the nation of Israel. Those are the two ideas which are expressed in this mizmor. One is seeing Hashem's hand in nature and seeing Hashem's hand in history, and the two converge in this mizmor. Look at all the sections and see how the two work together. It's interesting, perhaps there's another way of explaining this, is that perhaps the rain, the precipitation, nature is the metaphor for the chosenness of the nation of Israel, the Torah, which gives them the uniqueness. Fascinating insight into this. Let's consider some of the events behind this mizmor. On the most basic level, the Da'at Mikra suggests this could be referring to or said at a time when people came up for Aliyah LeRegel. They came to pay homage, they came to bring their korbanos on the three festivals of the year, and it was after a good rainfall. So thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the rain, for the nature, and they're coming, Nidchei Yisrael Yechanes, all the scattered ones of Israel, come from all the corners of Israel and beyond to come to do Aliyah LeRegel. But there's another way of reading this. Perhaps this could be actually have been composed much later in history, at the time of Shivas Tzion, the Second Commonwealth, when the nation of Israel was allowed back under the Persian request and permission to rebuild the second base of Mikdash under first Zerubbabel and Yeshua Kohen Gadol, later on by Ezra and Nehemiah. And in fact, it is interesting again to reference the Septuagint here. The Greek translation actually has in the superscription, Lechagai Umelachi. This was written to or by Chagai Melachi, which is during that time period. However, there's no proof from anything the Septuagint suggests, because that is not our tradition. But it is interesting because it talks about building Yerushalayim, which was precisely what Nehemiah was doing. He was rebuilding the walls of Yerushalayim. The only question that I would have on this approach is that would suggest that this halalukah, which seems to be connected to the other four halalukahs, would be composed much later on. And it's hard to say that this, which is connected to Tehillat David, which was composed by David HaMelech himself, was at the time of the second base of Mikdash. That's an interesting he'ara. Another possibility is looking at this as the Mizmor of Redemption. The Ibn Ezra says this is a vision of the future. Yes, we Nidchei Yisrael Yechanes. Hashem will ingather the exiles. Yes, Hashem will rebuild Yerushalayim. And in that vein, it is interesting to notice that the Me'a Shiloach, the Ishbetz Rebbe, does point out that when you say in the very first pasuk, Zamro Elokeinu Ki Na'im, we will sing to Hashem because He is Na'im, usually we translate the word Na'im to mean nice, pretty, good. But the word Na'im also means, as is used elsewhere in Tanakh, in Mishle specifically, Perek Chav Beis, Na'im also means hidden. Zamra Elokeinu, sing to Hashem, Ki Na'im, because He's hidden. It takes a little bit of work through Galus to see where HaKadosh Baruch Hu really, truly is. And that's our work through Galus. In considering where in our davening it appears, it should be obvious to us that this is the second of the five mizmore, the five halalukas, which follow Ashrei in the Pesukei Dezim, which is said on a daily basis, the weekday, and on Shabbos and Yom Tov. We're going to focus on two Pesukim in the spotlight today, and those are the last two Pesukim in this mizmor, which focus on the topic of chosenness. The Pesukim tell us, Magid Rov Yaakov, Chukov Mishpotav Yisrael. Hashem tells His word to Jacob and His laws to Israel. Lo Yasa Chen L'chol Goy. He does not do this for all other nations. Umishpatim Bal Yadaum Halalulka. And He does not tell them His laws. Now, what exactly does that mean? It sounds like over here that the Israel was gifted with the Torah, no one else was. The Ben Ish Chai, Zecher Tzadik Livrachas, is a very beautiful, beautiful insight. And he says that there's two parts to Torah. There's the written Torah, and there's the oral Torah. And in fact, yes, today we have the Gemara, and we have the Mishnah, everything is written down. But that was in a certain sense a concession. The Gemara in Gittin tells us that they felt that it was an emergency, that in order to be able to preserve the Torah, Shabbat Alper, the oral Torah, they wrote it down, but it was a concession. Why was it a concession? Says the Ben Ish Chai in a most remarkable insight. He says, you know, the written Torah, because it was written, it was accessible to everybody. And because it was accessible to everybody, everybody wanted a part of it. And in fact, history has told exactly that. All the other monotheistic religions have abrogated our Bible. They've taken our Bible, either copied and pasted it like the Christians and added to it another volume, or as the Muslims did, take it, cut and paste as they felt the little pieces they wanted. But because it was available to everybody in such an easy way, that's why the other religions were based on our Bible, on our Old Testament, on the Torah Shebichsav. The Torah Shebaal Peh was the inner workings, it was the holier, it was the inner chambers of what it all meant. That was meant to be secret, that was meant to be transmitted only mouth to mouth. And therefore, that was why, when it was written down, it was, there was a concession in that. So what is this referring to? Yes, the nations of the world may have the written Torah Shebichsav, but they don't understand the content, they don't understand where it's supposed to be leading, they don't understand the law behind it, because that was always, that was not told. That was the inner core of what the Torah means. We can't simply stop at learning the Torah Shebichsav. We need to merge it with the idea of the Torah Shebaal Peh, and that is the secret of our existence. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.